your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Good evening, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Mackie, and I am your teacher for the book of Leviticus. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask you to let someone else know about this Bible reading class. We will open this with prayer this evening. Following prayer, we will begin the Bible reading portion of this class. After that, we will open the phone lines for you to answer review questions or make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue. And our review questions can be found at rfcm.org. And again, we ask you to please keep all background noise to zero if possible. Now let us pray. Lord God, our Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to study your word. We ask now that the Holy Spirit illuminate your word to us so we can live it out in our everyday lives. Bless us all, Lord, to understand it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we will listen to chapters 25 through 27, and we'll see you on the other side.
Chapter 25. While Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, "Give these instructions to the Israelites. When you have entered the land I am giving you as an inheritance, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord every seventh year. For 6 years you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. But during the seventh year the land will enjoy a Sabbath year of rest to the Lord. Do not plant your crops or prune your vineyards during that entire year. and don't store away the crops that grow naturally, or process the grapes that grow on your unpruned vines. The land is to have a year of total rest. But you, your male and female slaves, your hired servants, and any foreigners who live with you may eat the produce that grows naturally during the Sabbath year. And your livestock and the wild animals will also be allowed to eat of the land's bounty. In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 years times 7, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement of the 50th year, blow the trumpets loud and long throughout the land. This year will be set apart as holy, a time to proclaim release for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you returns to the lands that belong to your ancestors and rejoins your clan. Yes, the 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, do not plant any seeds or store away any of the crops that grow naturally, and do not process the grapes that grow on your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you, and you must observe it as a special and holy time. You may, however, eat the produce that grows naturally in the fields that year. In the year of jubilee, each of you must return to the lands that belong to your ancestors. When you make an agreement with a neighbor to buy or sell property, you must never take advantage of each other. When you buy land from your neighbor, the price of the land should be based on the number of years since the last jubilee. The seller will charge you only for the crop years left until the next year of jubilee. The more the years, the higher the price. The fewer the years, the lower the price. After all, the person selling the land is actually selling you a certain number of harvests. Show your fear of God by not taking advantage of each other. I, the Lord, am your God. If you want to live securely in the land, keep my laws and obey my regulations. Then the land will yield bumper crops, and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the 7th year since we are not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? The answer is, I will order my blessing for you in the 6th year, so the land will produce a bumper crop enough to support you for 3 years. As you plant the seed in the 8th year, you will still be eating the produce of the previous year. In fact, you will eat from the old crop until the new harvest comes in the 9th year. And remember, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis because it really belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenants living with me. With every sale of land, there must be a stipulation that the land can be redeemed at any time. If any of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and are forced to sell some inherited land, then a close relative, a kinsman redeemer, may buy it back for them. If there is no one to redeem the land but the person who sold it manages to get enough money to buy it back, then that person has the right to redeem it from the one who bought it. The price of the land will be based on the number of years until the next year of Jubilee. After buying it back, the original owner may then return to the land. But if the original owner cannot afford to redeem it, then it will belong to the new owner until the next year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee year, the land will be returned to the original owner. Anyone who sells a house inside a walled city has the right to redeem it for a full year after its sale. During that time, the seller retains the right to buy it back. But if it is not redeemed within a year, then the house within the walled city will become the permanent property of the buyer. It will not be returned to the original owner in the year of Jubilee. But a house in a village, a settlement without fortified walls, will be treated like property in the open fields. Such a house may be redeemed at any time and must be returned to the original owner in the year of Jubilee. The Levites always have the right to redeem any house they have sold within the cities belonging to them. And any property that can be redeemed by the Levites, all houses within the Levitical cities, must be returned in the year of Jubilee. After all, the cities reserved for the Levites are the only property they own in all Israel. The strip of pasture land around each of the Levitical cities may never be sold. It is their permanent ancestral property. If any of your Israelite relatives fall into poverty and cannot support themselves, support them as you would a resident foreigner and allow them to live with you. Do not demand an advance or charge interest on the money you lend them. Instead, show your fear of God by letting them live with you as your relatives. Remember, Do not charge your relatives interest on anything you lend them, whether money or food. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. If any of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and sell themselves to you, do not treat them as slaves. Treat them instead as hired servants or as resident foreigners who live with you, and they will serve you only until the year of Jubilee. At that time, they and their children will no longer be obligated to you, and they will return to their clan and ancestral property. The people of Israel are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, so they must never be sold as slaves. Show your fear of God by treating them well. Never exercise your power over them in a ruthless way. However, you may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. You may also purchase the children of such resident foreigners, including those who have been born in your land. You may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as a permanent inheritance. You may treat your slaves like this, but the people of Israel, your relatives, must never be treated this way. If a resident foreigner becomes rich, and if some of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and sell themselves to such a foreigner, they still retain the right of redemption. They may be bought back by a close relative, an uncle, a nephew, or anyone else who is closely related. They may also redeem themselves if they can get the money. The price of their freedom will be based on the number of years left until the next year of Jubilee, whatever it would cost to hire a servant for that number of years. If many years still remain, they will repay most of what they received when they sold themselves. If only a few years remain until the year of Jubilee, then they will repay a relatively small amount for their redemption. The foreigner must treat them as servants hired on a yearly basis. You must not allow a resident foreigner to treat any of your Israelite relatives ruthlessly. If any Israelites have not been redeemed by the time the year of Jubilee arrives, then they and their children must be set free at that time. For the people of Israel are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. Chapter 26. Do not make idols or set up carved images, sacred pillars, or shaped stones to be worshipped in your land. I, the Lord, am your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you keep my laws and are careful to obey my commands, I will send the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops and the trees will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will extend until the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will extend until it is time to plant grain again. You will eat your fill and live securely in your land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep without fear. I will remove the wild animals from your land and protect you from your enemies. In fact, you will chase down all your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath the blows of your weapons. I will look favorably upon you and multiply your people and fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for each new harvest. I will live among you and I will not despise you. I will walk among you, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you from the land of Egypt, so you would no longer be slaves. I have lifted the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk free with your heads held high. However, if you do not listen to me or obey my commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my laws and treating my regulations with contempt, I will punish you. You will suffer from sudden terrors, with wasting diseases, and with burning fevers, causing your eyes to fail and your life to ebb away. You will plant your crops in vain, because your enemies will eat them. I will turn against you, and you will be defeated by all your enemies. They will rule over you, and you will run even when no one is chasing you. And if, in spite of this, you still disobey me, I will punish you for your sins 7 times over. I will break down your arrogant spirit by making the skies above as unyielding as iron, and the earth beneath as hard as bronze. All your work will be for nothing, for your land will yield no crops, and your trees will bear no fruit. If even then you remain hostile toward me and refuse to obey, I will inflict you with 7 more disasters for your sins. I will release wild animals that will kill your children and destroy your cattle, so your numbers will dwindle and your roads will be deserted. And if you fail to learn a lesson from this and continue your hostility toward me, then I myself will be hostile toward you, and I will personally strike you 7 times over for your sins. I will send armies against you to carry out these covenant threats. If you flee to your cities, I will send a plague to destroy you there, and you will be conquered by your enemies. I will completely destroy your food supply, so the bread from one oven will have to be stretched to feed 10 families. They will ration your food by weight, and even if you have food to eat, you will not be satisfied. If after this you still refuse to listen and still remain hostile toward me, then I will give full vent to my hostility. I will punish you 7 times over for your sins. You will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters. I will destroy your pagan shrines and cut down your incense altars. I will leave your corpses piled up beside your lifeless idols, and I will despise you. I will make your cities desolate and destroy your places of worship, and I will take no pleasure in your offerings of incense. Yes, I myself will devastate your land. Your enemies who come to occupy it will be utterly shocked at the destruction they see. I will scatter you among the nations and attack you with my own weapons. Your land will become desolate and your cities will lie in ruins. Then at last the land will make up for its missed Sabbath years as it lies desolate during your years of exile in the land of your enemies. Then the land will finally rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As the land lies in ruins, it will take the rest you never allowed it to take every 7th year while you lived in it. And for those of you who survive, I will demoralize you in the land of your enemies far away. You will live there in such constant fear that the sound of a leaf driven by the wind will send you fleeing. You will run as though chased by a warrior with a sword, and you will fall even when no one is pursuing you. Yes, though no one is chasing you, you will stumble over each other in flight, as though fleeing in battle. You will have no power to stand before your enemies. You will die among the foreign nations and be devoured in the land of your enemies. Those still left alive will rot away in enemy lands because of their sins and the sins of their ancestors. But at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile toward me. Finally, when I have given full expression to my hostility and have brought them to the land of their enemies, then at last their disobedient hearts will be humbled and they will pay for their sins. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, with Isaac, and with Abraham, and I will remember the land, and the land will enjoy its years of Sabbath rest as it lies deserted. At last the people will receive the due punishment for their sins, for they rejected my regulations and despised my laws. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them while they are in exile in the land of their enemies. I will not cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out. I, the Lord, am their God. I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of Egypt while all the nations watched. I, the Lord, am their God. These are the laws, regulations, and instructions that the Lord gave to the Israelites through Moses on Mount Sinai. Chapter 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the Israelites. If you make a special vow to dedicate someone to the Lord by paying the value of that person, here is the scale of values to be used. A man between the ages of 20 and 60 is valued at 50 pieces of silver. A woman of that age is valued at 30 pieces of silver. A boy between 5 and 20 is valued at 20 pieces of silver. A girl of that age is valued at 10 pieces of silver. A boy between the ages of 1 month and 5 years is valued at 5 pieces of silver. A girl of that age is valued at 3 pieces of silver. A man older than 60 is valued at 15 pieces of silver. A woman older than 60 is valued at 10 pieces of silver. If you desire to make such a vow but cannot afford to pay the prescribed amount, go to the priest and he will evaluate your ability to pay. You will then pay the amount decided by the priest. If your vow involves giving a clean animal, one that is acceptable as an offering to the Lord, then your gift to the Lord will be considered holy. The animal should never be exchanged or substituted for another, neither a good animal for a bad one, nor a bad animal for a good one. But if such an exchange is in fact made, then both the original animal and the substitute will be considered holy. But if your vow involves an unclean animal, one that is not acceptable as an offering to the Lord, then you must bring the animal to the priest. He will assess its value, and his assessment will be final. If you want to redeem the animal, you must pay the value set by the priest plus 20%. If you dedicate a house to the Lord, the priest must come to assess its value. The priest's assessment will be final. If you wish to redeem the house, you must pay the value set by the priest plus 20%. Then the house will again belong to you. If you dedicate to the Lord a piece of your ancestral property, its value will be assessed by the amount of seed required to plant it. 50 pieces of silver for an area that produces 5 bushels of barley seed. If the field is dedicated to the Lord in the year of Jubilee, then the entire assessment will apply. But if the field is dedicated after the year of Jubilee, the priest must assess the land's value in proportion to the years left until the next year of Jubilee. If you decide to redeem the dedicated field, you must pay the land's value as assessed by the priest, plus 20%. Then the field will again belong to you. But if you decide not to redeem the field, or if the field is sold to someone else by the priests, it can never be redeemed. When the field is released in the year of Jubilee, it will be holy, a field specially set apart for the Lord. It will become the property of the priests. If you dedicate to the Lord a field that you have purchased, but which is not part of your ancestral property, the priest must assess its value based on the years until the next year of Jubilee. You must then give the assessed value of the land as a sacred donation to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field will be released to the original owner from whom you purchased it. All the value assessments must be measured in terms of the standard sanctuary shekel. You must not dedicate to the Lord the firstborn of your cattle or sheep, because the firstborn of these animals already belong to him. However, if it is the firstborn of a ceremonially unclean animal, you may redeem it by paying the priest's assessment of its worth plus 20%. If you do not redeem it, the priest may sell it to someone else for its assessed value. However, anything specially set apart by the Lord, whether a person, an animal, or an inherited field, must never be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted in this way has been set apart for the Lord is holy. A person specially set apart by the Lord for destruction cannot be redeemed. Such a person must be put to death. A tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to redeem the Lord's tenth of the fruit or grain, you must pay its value plus 20%. The Lord also owns every tenth animal counted off from your herds and flocks. They are set apart to him as holy. The tenth animal must not be selected on the basis of whether it is good or bad, and no substitutions will be allowed. If any exchange is in fact made, then both the original animal and the substituted one will be considered holy and cannot be redeemed. These are the commands that the Lord gave to the Israelites through Moses on Mount Sinai.
All right, that concludes the Bible reading portion. We'll now answer the review question. And there's a small typo if you looked it up online. It says Leviticus 21 through 24, but these are the questions for 25 through 27. Question number one. What year is to be a Jubilee?
I got chapter 25, verse 8 through 13. Uh-oh, sound like I'm not right.
I guess the way I worded it, I was looking for a different answer. Verse 11.
Okay, hold on. Okay, wait one second. I'm trying to find my questions. But go ahead. You say start with... Go ahead, Sister Loretta. Go ahead.
This 15th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own. And don't gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you, and you must keep it holy. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belongs to your ancestors. And that was 18.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you started at 11.
Yeah, 11 through 13, yep.
I'm doing like Reese. I'm starting from where it started all the way to the end. But okay,
and,
I got you.
And Eric, it's funny you mentioned Reese because I was told to give you a message. She's listening,
uh-oh,
but she didn't do her questions.
Oh, man. I hope Pastor heard that.
But see, if she had done them, they would have been right.
Oh my God. I guess Pastor O did hear that being okay.
Yeah, she didn't do them, but if she had done them, it would have been right.
Okay. So I can't get no credit from 8 to 13 instead of 11 to 13. Okay.
Yes,
I got y'all.
Yes, sir. 11 to 13.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Question number two. What is the redemption process for a poor person?
Oh, Lord. I had 25, 39 through 43. I'm wrong again. I'm
going to
shut up.
Did anybody have anything else?
25 through 38.
25?
Chapter 25 through 38. I had either 25, 35 through 38, or 47 through 55.
Okay. I was looking for 25 through 28.
25 through 28?
Yeah.
If there's another reason why I am that person.
Okay, let me read it. So 25 says, if one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and is forced to sell some family land, then a close relative should pay it back for him.
Okay? Oh.
If there is no close relative to buy the land, but the person who sold it gets enough money to buy it, that he then has the right to redeem it from the one who bought it. The price of the land will be discounted according to the number of years until the next year of Jubilee. In this way, the original owner can then return to the land. But if the original owner cannot afford to buy back the land, it will remain within the new owner until the next year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee year, the land must be returned to the original owner so they can return to their family land. Mm-hmm. Oh,
right.
You said 38?
See,
no, 28.
Okay. Okay, well, it says, what is the redemption process for a poor person? And the purpose, my reason of going down to 39 is, hold on, she said it was at, you guys read from 29, no. Something to 28. 24 to 28. 25 to 28. 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not trying to make myself be right. Well, I guess I am, but I don't know. Maybe I misread the question because I looked, it says, what is the redemption process for a poor person? The redemption process of what, though?
Okay.
To get his land back.
It didn't say land, though.
Well, that's what it's talking about. Property.
Yeah,
property.
But the question says, what is the redemption process for a poor person? It don't say nothing about no land or nothing else.
Land. we'll give you credit for that because I didn't specify for the land.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor.
Question number three. Okay. Can a poor Israelite who has been purchased be treated like any other slave? Why or why not?
I'm a wait for I open my mouth.
Well, I got 25:39-43.
That is correct.
Okay, cool. These were hard. So it says, if one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and is forced to sell himself to you, do not treat him as a slave. Treat him instead as a hired worker or as a temporary resident who lives with you, and he will serve you only until the year of Jubilee. At that time, he and his children will no longer be obligated to you, and they will return to their clans and go back to the land originally allotted to their ancestors. The people of Israel are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. So they must never be sold as slaves. Show your fear of God by not treating them harshly. Amen.
Man, all right.
So they couldn't move. They took care of their people.
Yes, they did. They did.
Gave them an opportunity to take, to get the land back, and they were helping each other and things like that. Because he gave it, because he was saying he brought you out of Egypt, and all this stuff belonged to him. And
right.
So they had to share.
And he always let you know that he the one that brought you out of Egypt. He always remind you of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have what you had.
Right. Well, yes. For him, I want you to treat him harshly. He said, don't treat him harshly because you be acting like you somebody special and you have everything and could treat somebody bad because they don't have anything.
Yeah, but remember, you didn't have at one point, so, yeah.
Right.
And that's, uh-huh. And that's the approach we should be taking nowadays, so.
Yeah, sure should be.
Yes. Question number four. What must the Israelites do for God to walk among them and they be his people?
Go ahead, Eric. You got it.
Okay. I started with three. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rain. I went all the way down from three. I might be wrong again, but I went from 3 to 13 but I don't know where y'all come from. What's going on?
Okay. All right, hold on. I'm gonna read the question one more time, then I'll give you the answer. It said, what must the Israelites do for God to walk among them and they be his people? The answer for that one was 26, verse 1 and 2. Do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And then it says, if you follow these decrees and are careful to obey my commands. I'm sorry, I cut it short.
It's number 9. Mm-hmm. I think it's 9 through 13.
I had 3 through 13 because it says, starts off by saying, if you follow my decrees, he tells you what you need to do in order for him to walk the mind. Then it go all the way down to the bottom of 13.
Yeah, well, It's 1 through 13. I wrote it down wrong. That's my my mistake there. Yeah. So you start with 1 and go through 13. But that's the question, the answer to number 4. So I'll continue.
Okay.
I got to work now. I don't have my glasses. I had to pull up on my iPad. I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All of your enemies will fall beneath your sword. I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people. I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear the old grain to make room for the new harvest. I will live among you, and I will not despise you. I will walk among you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so you will no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck, so you can walk with your heads held high. All right. Question number 5. Complete these verses. They begin with "but if you" and ends with "pursuing you."
Okay. Well, I have verse 14 through 17, but then I have pieces of going all the way down to 39, different little, and it, you know, it says something different each time. And if you fail to do this, and if even you, then you remain hostile toward me, and if in spite of all this, that was just me. I'm not saying, but for my original answer, I got 14 through 17.
And that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulation with contempt, and refusing to obey my commands, I will punish you. I will bring you sudden terrors upon you, wasting diseases and burning fevers that will cause your eyes to fail and your life to ebb away. You will plant your crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. I will turn against you, and you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will run even when no one is chasing you. And then it states in all these other ones, and if you spite all of this, you will still disobey me. It just goes on to say different things about the disobedience. But I'm still, go ahead, next question.
Number 6. What must be done for the Lord their God to remember the covenant he had with Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham?
26:40-43.
Could you read it, my brother?
Pardon?
I said, yep. Could you read it?
Oh, but at last my people will confess their sins, and their sins of their ancestors are betraying me and being hostile toward me. When I have turned their hostility back on them and brought them to the land of their enemies, then at last their stubborn hearts will be humble, and they will pay for their sins. Then I'll remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I'll remember the land. Oh, no, and I will remember the land, for the land must be abandoned to enjoy its years of Sabbath rest as it lies deserted. At last, the people will pay for their sins, for they have continually rejected my regulations and despised my decrees. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, sir.
All right. You're welcome, good brethren.
Number 7. When making a vow, are the poor required to pay the same as everyone else?
Say that again? Oh, the question.
Yeah. Well, when When making a vow, are the poor required to pay the same as everyone else?
I had number 8. If you decide to make such a vow but cannot afford to pay the required amount, take the person to the priest, and he will determine the amount for you to pay based up on what you can afford.
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Would y'all tell Reese we knocking him dead this week?
What chapter was that, Ed?
Chapter 27, verse 8. I apologize.
Okay, good deal.
You y'all will make sure Reese know.
She hear you.
Okay, good enough.
Number 8. Can a person dedicating their house set the price and pay that price for redemption?
That would be 27, 14, 15.
Good call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So if someone dedicates the house to the Lord, the priest will come to assess its value. The priest's assessment will be final, whether high or low. If the person who dedicated the house wants to buy it back, he must pay the value set by the priest plus 20%. Then the house will again be his.
Okay, and question number 9. Any person may be ransomed.
I say number 9 was false because the 28 and 29 says, however, anything special set apart for the Lord, whether a person or an animal or family property, must never be sold or bought back. Anything devoted in this way has been set apart as holy, and it belongs to the Lord. No person specially set apart for destruction may be brought back. Such a person must be put to death. Wow. I got something wrong.
Yes, sir.
My bad.
That's right.
That's right.
But I mean to put to death. Wow.
Well, you know, they didn't play.
Hey. Okay, when I saw such a person put to death, that threw me. I'm like, maybe that's the wrong answer.
I think it was, because it said in the footnotes, it said things set apart, devoted, applies to personal property or persons placed under God's ban, such as captured plunder from idol worshipers or idols themselves. These were to be destroyed and could not be redeemed. So I think, were they mostly talking about that?
Right. Mm. We only had 3 more chapters to finish out Leviticus, so that concludes it. But I don't know if Pat wants to chime in or if you have any comments to make.
Well, Mr. Professor, we thank you for your time on giving us the tutorial services you gave us. And I'm good.
Tutorial services.
Right.
Thank you for your tutorial.
He's a tutor.
Well, thank you, brother.
I'm about to get with Carmen on tutorial. I like that. That sound made up. There you go. Carmen would be like, they ain't no word faster. Hey, man. But I used to make up, as soon as you said tutorial, her face popped into my head the way she used to look at me when I say the word.
Right.
Hey, man. So thank you for your tutorial example. I like that. You know I love a made up word. Anyway, you're in the family, so it must run in the family. Okay.
Pastor, I know I'm thinking about it. I want everybody to pray for Reese. The reason why she didn't answer the question, she's in the hospital, so she has a valid excuse, Eric. We'll break this time.
Okay, we're going to have to pray her up out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
So listen, for the last one, it said any person may be ransomed. And like I read the footnotes, it said things set apart, devoted, applies to personal property or persons placed under God's ban. Oh, so what are those things? Those things, could you explain that?
Things devoted to God, things that's used in the Lord's service, things that belong to him that should be redeemed, things you have to redeem back belong to him, but you can redeem it back. Those things, but things belonging to pagan gods and other people, other nations, stuff that wasn't his, then you didn't have to redeem that back because it didn't belong to you, nor does he count it as belonging to him, even though the Lord is the judge of the whole earth or is sovereign over the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to redeem that back. It's like everything that's in the church belongs to the Lord. Whenever we bring a speaker, a microphone, a stand, or anything that's used in the Lord's service, it's devoted to him, and it becomes his, mm-hmm. and then it can no longer be used some other kind of way. But things that are not his, you don't have to redeem mm-hmm. back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, part two. My brothers and sisters, tutorial relating to a tutor or a tutor's instruction.
Oh, it ain't made up.
No, sir.
Oh, well, I don't like the word no more then. It ain't made up. It ain't even special. See, if it was special, it would have been special if it was, you know, just
we
could have
stolen that word, huh?
Real, yeah, since it's a real word, you know, it ain't all that special. But it sounds, I still like it, though. Tutorius, I'm going to use it to death. A baby Holy Ghost in here being Tutorius.
No, Tutorial.
Tutorial. Yeah, she's in here being Tutorial. Thank you for your tutorial services. Your tutorial services are greatly appreciated.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Word. Eric, he looked it up. It's a word. And I still
that's
like
what I was saying to Professor Mackey.
Like, amen. Professor Mackey. Amen. That
Professor
makes
Mackey.
That sound good, don't it? Dr. Mackey. No, you have to say it like Bernie Mac. The Catholic priest, the way he used to say Bernie Mac's name, Mr. Mackey.
Yeah. So I see you was up late at night, too.
Good to see you, Mr. Mackey.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And then I'm missing Percy and Miss Reese. We miss you, babe. Come on back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She'll be back. You know how it is at Running for Christ. We have to pray you right up out that hospital. That can't.
Oh, I didn't know she was in the hospital. In. Okay.
Yeah, that's what Mackie just said, that she got a real reason for not being in class. So we're going to have to pray her up out that situation.
That's right.
Yeah, right up out of that.
I ain't got nobody to go back and forth with.
Right. Plus, she's the class star. People all over the world like, where is she? How we know we right?
No. She's the class pet. She's the class pet. You know, the teacher always got one. Yeah. But we still love you, baby.
Yeah. She's good to go. She'll be on in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
well,
who's on what?
And I know the next class, Crystal will be our teacher.
Oh, yeah, she got numbers, right.
The numbers. Yep. It has been a pleasure teaching this class. And I thank everyone for their participation, even those who listen. And I shall pray this out. And I know Pastor probably has something for us after that. But
Oh, God, Father, we thank you. Thank you for this love letter you gave us, and we thank you for this time that we have set apart to come together and study your word. Thank you for everything that was taught and learned in this class, Father God, for all the communication, and for those who were able to listen, and for those who will listen down the line as this is recorded, Father God. We thank you for that, and we thank you for this outlet, and we pray that it continues to grow and it continues to do your will. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Mackey. We appreciate you. Really do. Amen. Did an excellent job. And amen. Thank Moved through them questions.
Appreciate.
Boom. Just like that. I like that. Praise
Thank
God.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. Ever think
you'd
be,
a hard time.
Ever think you'd be teaching a Bible class?
Not at all.
That wasn't on the agenda. Hey, this Wednesday we're going to talk about the devil, his work, and his destiny. We're going to close out our discussion on him. He's really not a whole lot to talk about, but we're going to talk about his work and his final destiny. Okay, when Darth Vader meet him when he come to hell tell him, Satan, I am not your father. Amen. But anyway, we're going to look at Satan, and we're going to look at his end and what he's doing in the world now. Yeah, what he's doing in the world now, his work, and his final destiny. And then we'll see that we win. Okay. Real quick, I want to pray for Reese. Let's pray. Just bow your heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for our dear sister, Reese, and you know how much she means to us, Father. Now, a bigger part of Running for Christ Ministries she is, and how she holds a place in all of our hearts. So collectively and together, we ask that you heal her, raise her up, give her a super quick recovery. Heal her so well, Father, as I ask you all the time, that the doctors be amazed and know that you did it. So in Jesus' name, this is what we ask for our dear sister. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. And the church went crazy. Amen. Amen. I was hanging out with Jesus earlier, and we was listening to some Marvin Sapp tunes. So I want to share one of the tunes. I was kind of thinking over some things. The Lord went through crazy weekend this weekend. Started last Friday, and just crazy. But it finally smoothed out somewhere in Sunday afternoon. Okay, and then this morning I was getting up and thinking and talking, and we was just doing our thing. And then we got to exercising, you know, getting that ride in. And here's the song that we shared while exercising. God bless you. God keep you. Hey, yourselves. Time. We'll see you Wednesday, 6 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
They thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
You held my hand and
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
you said yes, you
gotta
can.
Sing it one more time.
Yes. They thought that I knew weak,
but you made me strong.
You see, they thought that I.
You said yes, you can.
I overcame, oh.
You said yes, you can.
And every
believe I can do it now. I know I will triumph.